Hello, everybody. Andre Kachaturian, Jason Taktagian, ASN Podcast, recording this on Thursday, May 29. Jason, we have so much to talk about, and we're going to start off with some breaking news, Jason.
That's right. We got a new Armenian in 2025 entering the UFC. Albert Tadevosyan, the martial arts nerd. Andre, you're the one that actually brought this to my attention. I was a little bit preoccupied and missed the breaking news as it happened. But this is huge. We were initially talking about the likes of a guy like maybe David McGowan being the next Armenian to join the UFC. But this kind of caught everybody by surprise, and it's a pleasant surprise. And I'm kind of kicking myself because he messaged me not too long ago in February asking for some help to talk to Dana White to try to get in front of the mic for a Q&A. And honestly, I told him, I'm like, hey, outside of UFC PR, I'm not too sure how else I can help you, but I really wish you the best of luck. And he was nothing but kind. And now it's just amazing to see that he's actually going to be fighting in the UFC at 316. Can you remind us who the opponent is? I'm trying to pull it up real quick
Albert
here.
Tadevosyan will be fighting Chaos Williams. He's a UFC veteran. He's been around for at least five,
Yeah.
six, 7 years. He's been around for a while. Albert is a welterweight, 13-3-1 in his professional career, with six consecutive finishes, 11 finishes total. And his most recent finish was in the UNF Interim Welterweight Championship fight, where he finished the fight in the first round with a guillotine choke and won the belt. And he has actually four consecutive first round finishes. So this guy, a lot of momentum heading into this UFC debut, which is in less than 10 days. It'll be in Newark, New Jersey. Definitely probably be on it'll definitely be on the undercard, I think, against Chaos Williams. And Chaos is no slouch. He's been around, like I said, for a while. 31 years old fighter. He's been in the UFC since 2020. So yes, 5 years he's been around, coming off a loss. So this is not going to be easy for Albert. So just to be thrown into the fire like that. And like you said, this is not the guy we were expecting to make their debut. We were thinking maybe David McGowan will be signing his contract soon. But again, he's only 20 years old. Albert, he has what, 17 fights under his belt. So that kind of makes more sense. A more seasoned guy who's on a hot streak, a lot of momentum, and it's going to be really exciting to watch.
Absolutely. And we did kind of briefly mention it. He was the Up Next Fighting Champion, and that's a promotion that has featured a lot of Armenians in the past and is going to be featuring a lot of Armenians coming up here this weekend as well. I know that Arshak Dadurian is actually part of that co-main event. He's headlining five fighters, Armenian fighters in total, from that card. Three of those fights are for titles, and Arshak Dadurian is the co-main event. He's going to be fighting as well. But we'll dive into that especially afterwards to kind of break that down because we're expecting five wins out of five. But again, he's coming from a big promotion, and it's going to be nice to see just a new Armenian face in the UFC cage with that flag.
Yeah, you talk about UNF 25. Fedya Chobanian will also be on that card. Krikor Balkian. There's a lot of Armenians on this card. Sevak Hakopian, Arshak Torosian, and ASN will be there. We will be there. Zoras Sahakian, ASN will be there. We'll have some coverage throughout the fight night on Saturday at Commerce Casino in California. But yeah, big news in the Armenian, MMA world. It's he's there. There's only a handful of us Armenians in the UFC, so this is a pretty big day.
Yeah. And when we say us, we don't, not including me and Andre.
No, we are not fighters. We just talk fighting.
Just talk about
Yeah, we
it.
just talk about it. But speaking of David McGowan, Jason,
Yes.
I spoke with him this week. It was a very great interview. We'll be on the ASN's YouTube page. Go check it out. Me and David McGowan and his trusty translator Elvis. We were in three different time zones. David was in Moscow, I was in Boston, and Elvis, the translator, was in LA. And he did a great job of translating the interview because David was more comfortable speaking in Russian. He is trilingual, speaks Armenian, he speaks Russian, he speaks English, but he was most comfortable in Russian and didn't want any, misrepresentations when he was speaking. So one of the things I asked him, and this is, I guess I'll break it here on the podcast as well, is what are his goals for the UFC? And he did mention that he is aware that John Jones has the record for the youngest UFC champion ever at 23 years old. And David, he's only 20, not signed by the UFC yet, but that's 3 years of time left that he has, and he's targeting. That's his goal. He said he wants to break John Jones's record and become the youngest UFC champion ever.
That'd be huge. I mean, he needs to first get to the UFC, obviously, but everything points in that direction that he is going to do that. And if he does it this year, for example, who's to say he doesn't, reach that sort of status in the featherweight division? I mean, I would love to see Magoyan kind of work his way up and get some ranked fights in that, in that category.
So David will turn 21 next month, June 25. That's his birthday. So he'll only be 21 years old. So he'll have like 2 years and change to break this record, assuming he fights in the contender series this summer and wins, gets his contract, and starts fighting in the UFC by the end of this calendar year. Say he gets, fights 3 or 4 times next year in 2026. That will set him up as in for 2027, when he will turn 23 years old for a championship fight. Obviously, he has to be very active. He has to win all of his fights in dramatic fashion. It's not going to be easy to do, but when you want someone to set goals like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because it's going to be ambitious and he's going to be setting his sights on, some big and up and coming names in the featherweight division, some guys that come to mind as great matchups could be, in the future, Movsar Evloev for being maybe a top five ranking for a kid that young. But obviously, like Calvin Cutter is still there. Jean Silva, he's
He's
huge and
probably
he's
the
on
next big
just a
name.
really,
He destroyed
he's
Nelson
on a
Cerruti.
streak. Yeah, exactly. But it's just he's just so good, and we gotta see if Magoyan is gonna be able to roll with, the pros, because he makes it look easy at Up Next Fighting, and he makes it look easy with all these other fights. The UFC is obviously a different game, and if he can make his name quickly, oh, we're talking about a rising star, and the UFC and the sport itself is begging for guys like that right now.
Yeah, and never forget that division is really, really crowded right now. Even Ilya Topuria, who is fighting in the lightweight division right now for the for, with against Charles Oliveira, who's to say that he won't return to featherweight to try to,
Yeah,
get
depending,
his,
yeah.
he never lost that belt. The door is, I'm sure, always open for him to return to that weight class. And obviously, you have legends like Max Holloway and Yair Rodriguez. Aljamain Sterling's another former champion. You mentioned Calvin Kattar, Boston guy. So that's a very crowded division. But another guy, David Onama, he's a young
Yeah.
kid. He's rising up in that division. But so he's gonna have his. It's not gonna be an easy road to break that record. But I'm sure if he has a strong 2025 debut and then he goes off and rattles off 3 to 4 consecutive big wins in 2026. Why not? And the UFC is going to be aware that, oh my God, this guy is, has a chance to break John Jones's record. They'll give him that opportunity. But I think, that's still, there's still time until that ha we think about that.
Dana White loves John Jones, but yes, I would hope that the UFC does allow that to naturally happen.
Yeah, I mean, and then maybe John Jones will decide to finally fight and maybe become the oldest UFC champion ever.
There
Yeah.
we go. Poetic.
You're right. What else do we have to talk about, Jason? There's this breaking
Some
news.
sports around you, around your neck of the woods, right?
Oh
In
my
the
goodness. Yes, what a weekend it was, Jason.
Yeah. I want to
Just
hear it from you because, obviously, we got three different Armenian teams playing lacrosse, the women's team, the men's team, the U19 team, and we are walking away with some silverware. And you were there to document that.
yeah.
ASL was there to document that. And tell me how that went.
It was an amazing, inspiring weekend, Jason, because obviously the men's team won the championship at the Heritage Cup in lacrosse. This was their third international tournament, and their first trophy, so first championship trophy. So that was really exciting to see. And we'll talk about that more in a bit. But what we also saw was the U19 team and the women's team both debut, and they each finished 7th place out of 2 dozen teams. So both strong results, and it was just really cool to be around the women's team too. They were just so passionate, so just the pa you, it just made you, it was a feel good moment to be watching these women play. Head coach Morgan Radner's, associate coach Isabel Kubikian, you just see the passion and how much they care. And
Every time they scored a goal, they would have some of the most unique and fun celebrations.
absolutely, and they would have the really cool celebrations. And when they beat China for their first ever win, just they stormed on the field. There was tears in Morgan's eyes. It was really cool to see. And going back before even the tournament on last Thursday in here in Boston at the ACEC, Armenian Cultural Center, they had a little dinner there. And I love what the associate head coach, Isabel Kubikian, said to the audience. She said that, when we're baptized, we're taught about huis havat gefser, which is faith, hope, and love. And she said that those three, huis havat gefser, were totally in action when these girls had their first ever practice together, and most of them met each other that day, a day before the tournament began. And by the way, it was a pouring downpour, raining in here in Boston. And she said those three elements, huis havat gefser, were very obviously in action, and that's what helped propel them to their first ever victory, and that and their strong camaraderie and the success they had on the field. So just seeing that, and you the just seeing faith as part of this lacrosse team, and Johnny Mehrabian, the president of lacrosse, always brings faith into his speeches, because it's very big part of Armenian heritage is our faith. And he always talks about how, faith is part of this. He says Armenia lacrosse is a ministry. And one of the founders is Father Shenorch Suen, who is a Terhayer here in New England, in Rhode Island. So that's kind of makes sense why faith is so important in this program. And hey, it never hurts to get some help from above, right?
Especially when you're winning the Heritage Cup, right? You're
Yeah.
using your heritage to win it, and that's just it's so nice to see stories like this, because it's not just about the results and the statistics. No one at the end of the day is going to remember the statistics. What's going to be remembered here is the memories that were made, the end results, the looks on their faces, the way that everybody was celebrating one another, the bonds that were made. And I'm so glad to be part of something like Armenian Sports News, to be able to have that opportunity to cover stuff like that and to be able to showcase it to the Armenian community and our growing platform. Because truthfully, I wish that more Armenian platforms, both sports related and general news, covered things like this. Because, when else do we hear about organizations coming together, or just people that are like-minded coming together to enjoy something and to put Armenians in a bright spot? We get a really bad rep sometimes, even
Yeah.
in sports. And this is the type of stories that we should be, highlighting and, putting differences aside just to be able to highlight it, or just researching about it. I didn't grow up watching lacrosse. I know a lot of Armenians didn't grow up watching lacrosse, but I'd be damned to say that Armenians are ingrained in sports in general. And this is, just another example of it, just seeing, how widespread the Armenian diaspora is as well, and that even Armenians within the diaspora have a lot of learning to do about the diaspora.
Absolutely. And you just saw the, again, it was such a feel good event all weekend long. I was at most of these games, and when they won the championship, so many of the players' parents were on the field. They'd flown from all over the country to see their children, their sons play for their country, for their grandparents who or great grandparents who were genocide survivors. And Johnny, the president of Armenian Lacrosse, made sure every time these players would huddle up, they wouldn't say team, they would say family, and you really felt that family bond from these guys. And they made me feel like part of that team as well. Like, and I'm just there, promoting it, promoting the games, and taking some pictures. And it was such, I can't wait. So the next step for this team now is in Poland this summer. It's going to be their first official European Lacrosse Federation sanctioned tournament. As the and you need passports to be able to compete in this tournament. So Johnny and the Federation are in the process of securing passports for a lot of the players, and all these players are fired up about getting their passports and getting their citizenship to represent Armenia on the national stage for the chance of qualifying for the LA Olympics in 2028. Obviously there's some military aspect of it, but there might be an exemption because they're athletes. That's all TBD, but for one weekend in Massachusetts, Armenia was the king of the castle there, and it was really cool to see them hoist that trophy.
Yeah, that was really awesome to see. And I'm glad that we, again, I'm glad that you guys were able to be there and to be able to document
Yeah, absolutely. And another, fledgling team, the Armenia HC, they're in action right now as we speak
Yeah.
in New Jersey, East Rutherford, New Jersey. They're playing Puerto Rico right now in the Dream Nations Cup. Armenia finished second last year. They're trying to erase that and win the championship this year. Started off the tournament strong with a 6-0 win against Egypt. Again, this is Armenia HC. We talk about it every time. This is the heritage team. This is not the official Armenian national ice hockey team that competed in the IIHF World Championship in April. This is the heritage team. But it also, in my opinion, this is, in your opinion as well, if I'm not mistaken, this is the reason why the national team came back, because of these guys. And they're based in Montreal, a bunch of big Armenian hockey guys in Montreal, reestablished the team, competed in a few tournaments, very successful. And then overseas is where the IIHF helped, the Armenian Hockey Federation relaunch the official team. So that's also been really cool to see. Just,
Yeah. And
yeah.
definitely by the time we get back on this podcast for the next episode, we'll be able to fully recap the Dream Nations Cup because Armenia, like you said, at the time of recording, they will play Puerto Rico, and then the day after or tomorrow, they play the First
Indigenous
Nations team, like you
First Nation,
said.
yeah. Then that's gonna be good stuff. And by Sunday's the final. We'll know that. We'll definitely be breaking down this tournament the next time we have a host a podcast. But Jason, I just feel like Armenians keep winning championships. We got the lacrosse team winning the championship, all those FIG championships, Hamlet Manukyan, Artur Davutyan. It's just every week there's a new Armenian champion.
Yeah, there is. And I mean, obviously, there would be an Armenian champion in the Armenian Premier League because it's only Armenian soccer teams that are playing. But that also wrapped up and it was quite significant because, yes, FC Noah, who was formerly known as, FC Artsakh, became Armenian Premier League champions for the first time, league double. But it was very, very historic because they went throughout the entire league going perfect from home. No draws, no losses. I think 15 wins from 15, and that's very, very unprecedented in European soccer. It was the first time it ever happened in the Armenian Premier League, and you don't really hear that about that happening in the top flight of a European country soccer club.
No.
Yes, Armenian soccer is not that high up in the coefficients, but it is climbing because of what FC Noah and other teams are doing in these Europa Conference leagues and these European tournaments. So very, very notable because yeah, we're at that part of the year where everyone's kind of wrapping up those long-standing seasons, and FC Noah is one of those teams, man, that I think as time progresses. More non-Armenians are going to start to jump on board for FC Noah because just knowing how social media is and how the football and soccer, landscape is, FC Noah is a very, very easy team to like jump on board with.
Yeah, and I'm very excited to see how they're going to do in the Champions League for next year. They'll start playing in just a couple months in July.
The
We used to see
qualifiers, yeah.
qualifiers. Usually we used to see Punic in all those games, and FC Noah has kind of surpassed them as the head honcho of Armenian football.
Well, I mean, considering last season it was FC Noah making history throughout all of soccer in general, going through all four qualifying rounds, there's going to be that sort of, momentum, hopefully, in the Champions League qualifiers for them. Because if that also happens, we're talking about just like another major headline breaking news for Armenian sports.
100%. But before we talk about next year's Champions League, this year's Champions League is not over yet. And
That's right.
the final takes place Saturday, May 31st. A coverage of that will be presented by your favorite attorney, Nelson Gevorkyan Esquire. Hendrik Mkhitaryan and Inter Milan going for the championship against PSG. It's going to be a tough matchup. You're the soccer guru here. Break this game down in like 90 seconds.
I mean, Inter Milan are a hot team in Italy, but they missed out on the Italian Cup or the league in Serie A by 1 point to Napoli. So at this point, everything rests on this Champions League final for Inter. They got everything to play for because they, you could argue, have had a quite disappointing season this season. If they win the Champions League, all of that's written off. Meanwhile, PSG are also trying to bid for their first Champions League. You know, they're the ones that are kind of the novices here, even though they were in a Champions League final during the pandemic. You got a completely new squad, spearheaded by a guy named Ousmane Dembélé. He was kind of a, I wouldn't say a reject, but when he went to Barcelona after just glittering in Germany and France, a lot of people would say that that was a disappointment. But I know that the guy's good. He's going to be leading the line. You got other guys over there like Kvicha Kvaratskhelia, who's Georgian. So you got an Armenian versus a Georgian in the Champions League. Guaranteed you're going to have a Caucasus Champions League winner. And honestly, it's going to be amazing to see. I think it's going to be fireworks, and I wouldn't be surprised if it went to penalties.
Well, interesting because everyone thought that for a PSG when Kylian Mbappe left, that maybe they would have like they would not be in this position that they are right now. It kind of reminds me of when Bryce Harper left the Washington Nationals and signed with the Phillies, and then they won the World Series in 2019 without him. This is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, kind of. And you know, you can make the argument that in a perfect scenario on paper, the Champions League final that would have sold the most tickets would have been the Real Madrid spearheaded by Kylian Mbappe first season versus Barcelona, the rising star Lamine Yamal. Doesn't happen for either one of those guys. And we have a Champions League final that folks can argue is ethical football. I like it. I want to see what's going to happen here because honestly, it's more unpredictable this way.
So, big question. Henrikh Mkhitaryan, there's rumors about retirement. If he wins this game and get w do we see him walking off as a champion into the
I
sunset?
wouldn't blame him. You know, retire as a if a Champions League winner. And also, let's be honest, he's been a regular starter for this Inter team. So it's not like he's been resting and he's like, you know, riding off into the sunset. This guy, he deserves the rest if he wants it, man. And I don't blame him. He has given so much to the sport and has put Armenia on the map with the with a soccer ball, really.
Well, here's
And
what I want to see.
yeah, I want to see him
He wins
going
the
off with
champion.
the
He wins the Champions League
medal.
here. I want to see Henrikh win the Champions League here, retire from, global international top flight European soccer, then sign a contract with FC Noah and go to Armenia,
Oh,
the Armenian Premier League, and
that'd be great.
help FC Noah become the first Armenian club to qualify into the group stages of the Champions League, because maybe he is not on good terms with the national team, but this will be a different route to, return to Armenia and help Armenian football in a different way. What do you think?
Can I give you an alternate? If that doesn't work out, he goes to LA, to LAFC, to pair up with his old buddy Marco Reus and play for a team that's owned by a half Armenian, John Thorington, and win an LAFC, an MLS Cup. Go for it.
That's
Two
probably
attacking
unlikely.
midfielders. Oh,
I
they
would
won't
love to
want them.
see
The
either of those
defense in
happen.
MLS wouldn't be able to keep up with it, man.
I would love to see that happen. Have Gevorg Dyarbayan of the New England Revs take on Henrikh
He'll be
Mkhitaryan.
the holding midfielder, and Marco Reus is on the left, Mkhitaryan's on the right, interchangeable as attacking midfielders. All you need is one striker because it's the MLS, and then you just need five at the back. I'm not a coach. I'm not going to say anything, but I would probably buy an Apple TV pass to watch that team. And I'm sure a lot of Armenians in Southern California would too.
Realistically though, with Mkhitaryan, isn't Inter Milan also in the Club World Cup? He'll probably stick around for that.
They are still in the Club World Cup. I mean, I think technically speaking, it is the next season or like in the buffer zone. So I don't know if it's going to happen because I know Inter Milan recently announced that they signed Luis Henrique. I hope I'm saying the last name right, but it's a Brazilian attacking midfielder who had 7 goals, 7 assists in the previous season in, I believe, Ligue 1 in the French league. And a lot of people are saying that that's, you know, a new midfielder for Inter Milan. And logically speaking, that would be Mkhitaryan's starting spot.
Interesting. Well, I learned a lot today about club football.
Who knows? Maybe I'm going to be completely wrong and he stays at Inter next season or
I would love
who
I
knows?
like my own scenario. I want him to go to Noah. That would be really cool. I
That
mean,
would be nice.
that'll be unbelievable. He did tease something like that earlier this year in an interview, didn't he? Like, oh, he wants to return to Armenia or something, like he finished his career in Armenia. Anyway, I don't know. But
I don't know. You wouldn't blame me, bro.
we got a lot going on. Obviously, we just talked about UFC. Also on the same day, May 31st, we have Armand Sarukyan's grappling match
That's
with
right.
Nick
We have
Goldin.
talked about that in previous podcasts. It's so much happening. I mean, Roland Garros is still going on, even though Alina Abanesian lost in the first round. We still
Lame
have
duck.
Garn Khachanov.
Yeah, let's talk about that actually for a real for a brief
Yeah.
second. That Elena Avanesian, what's going on with her? That's now three consecutive Grand Slams where she's flamed out in the first round. Is this, we see this sometimes with young athletes who are kind of phenoms and they do really well early in their career, and then the hype builds up and then they just flame out. Like, what do you think's going on here with her?
I don't know. I think it's natural. It's due process. I hope she's learning from it, just from an athletic standpoint, because I've never really picked up a tennis racket before. I don't want to act like, I'm talking from a position of stance and whatever. But I think, you have to give her grace because of her age and because of the fact that, you can use this as a learning experience. And she is coming off of the highs of the highs from her young career so far. So it's okay for ebbs and flows. It is concerning, though, if it does continue for the rest of this year, because it is May. And you do bring up that good point, because it has already been a bit of a trend so far. And it's the concern is it continues and then she doesn't, have the ranking and the status as she earned from last year.
Yeah, it's I think, it's I don't like seeing it, but obviously, there's a quick turnaround between the French Open and the next Grand Slam, which is Wimbledon, in England next month. So hopefully she can kind of, because of this early exit, kind of just regroup and have a better performance there, where she's had some success earlier in her career. But Khachanov, he's doing well. He's in the third round now. Tough matchup against Tommy Paul on Friday. We'll see how he does against the American. And that's what's
If
going
he
on
continues going through, then that's going to definitely start to grow in attention just because of it. Roland Garros itself, here in the United States, for some reason, it's definitely getting promoted more than I've ever seen, especially on the broadcast
Well,
networks
it's
like
on TNT
TNT.
now. Andre Agassi's on the call.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the that's what happens when a sporting event goes onto a new network. They're just going to promote the hell out of it. But it's on T. I believe it that TNT has TNT is losing basketball, but they're gaining tennis. We'll see how that works for them. That's a conversation for another podcast,
Yeah, that's a different episode.
not with us.
But yeah, lots going on, man. Lots going on. Got to buckle up and just get ready for, the upcoming weekend, the upcoming month, and Armenian basketball in Fresno and LA. We can go on and on with this podcast, but I think the point has been met, at least for this week, that Armenian sports continues to rise. We continue to get surprised, and it keeps us going.
Yeah, and you mentioned basketball. That's almost in a week and a half, and then obviously the both men's and women's soccer teams will have games, two games each. The men's games are just friendlies, but the women's games are Nations League games. Hopefully, they can get that promotion. That's going to be fun to watch too. That women's team has been exciting lately, but we'll cover that on the we'll cover how their results in the next podcast, Jason. We covered a lot here today. So much going on. Check out our YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube page, watch our interviews. We have a lot more coming, and we'll talk to you next time here on the ASM podcast.